Welcome back to More Than Money. It's just a tease. Top of the hour, you're going to get the whole song. It's a great piece of music. Oh, that John. He's got skill. Man's got skill. You got to give him that. Well, you don't have to give him that, but you should. 610-720-7900. Gene at AskMTM.com. MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. Monday, please circle that on your calendar if you're available during the day. Love Ran Red Foundation is hosting their first annual golf tournament at Lehigh Country Club. We invite you to come over. I'll be playing in a group with my good friend Jack, my good friend Jared, and my new friend Paul. I'm looking forward to that. I'm semi looking forward to that. I'm absolutely looking forward to hanging with those guys and having a great day. 92 degrees. right now it's like 67 and dreary out there. So that's what a contrast that's going to be. And Gunther was making fun of my knobby knees this morning. So I'll be wearing long pants because golfers wear long pants. Caddies wear shorts. Just remember that. But if you'd like to help, we would absolutely appreciate it. Gunther will be there in the afternoon from 2 to 5, broadcasting live. I'll be there all day, starting a little bit before 10, right on through. Dinner should wrap up, I would think, 6 or 7. If you would like to come over and make a contribution, that'd be great. If you'd like to enjoy the day, if you'd like to come for dinner, I'm sure that can be arranged. We would welcome all those opportunities. If you've got a group, you know, of 40 or 50 that you want to come over and be the gallery, follow our group around and do the golf clap every time we sink a long, long putt. Now John was very rude there. John's very rude. John's, you know, he's supposed to be, he's supposed to be working back there, seen and not heard. You know what we're saying? Seen, not heard. All of a sudden, he says, if you're going to wait to clap until we make a long putt, you're going to be waiting a long time. All right, that's a little painful. That is painful. 610-720-7900. Next Saturday, 1 week from today, please join us at Steel Stacks. We're doing a live show, 8 to 10. John and I are already plotting some pretty cool music that's going to be in honor of the Run, Walk, Roll 5K. We've got some... John's already working on it. He's already working on it. We're going to have some great music. We're going to be interviewing a lot of really cool people. It's a fantastic event for a great organization. Please join us. And if you are a woman either in retirement or considering retirement, you please circle June 20th on your calendar as we host a Women in Retirement. Jacqueline O'Toole will be joining us and hosting, discussing some of the challenges that face women specifically in retirement and some of the strategies to meet those challenges. So please circle that on your calendar as well. Let me make sure I'm giving this to you correctly. There we go. Young lady writes, I'm soon to be divorced. As a result of the divorce, I'll be receiving money from my ex-spouse's retirement fund. I also have a retirement fund with my employer. I'm in my early 50s. My question is, should I roll the money over into my current 401k plan, or should I open a separate Roth or IRA account? My plan does allow rollovers. Will I be able to use the same or all the money if needed to purchase a home without tax penalty if needed before or after I invest it? I will not be a first-time homeowner. Thank you for your time. Well, thank you for the question. It's a very good one indeed. And, of course, things being what they are, divorce planning and understanding how these pieces work, it's an important part of serving our clients. Your plan does allow a rollover. You're in your early 50s. Will you be able to roll it into a 401k? The answer is sure you can. Should you? Different question. There are two things. One that's embedded in your question and one that is not, that I would ask you to consider before you roll it into your plan. The first is that a good investment decision? Well, you should start answering that question by looking at the investments you have in your current 401k plan. If you're happy with those investments, if they've been meeting your financial needs and financial goals, or perhaps you've been counseling with a financial advisor who's been assisting you in figuring out how best to invest in your 401k. And again, if the results are satisfactory, pleasing, I think rolling it into your 401k makes a great deal of sense. Because the investments meet your needs, it will simplify your life. You'll have, instead of two accounts, you'll have one. You'll be able to potentially take advantage of some very advantageous cost structures in the 401k. And it leads us to the question that, or the issue that's embedded in your question. Will you be able to use some or all of this money if you need it to purchase a home? If you put it into an IRA, the answer is likely no. You won't be able to access this money without penalty because you're too young. If you roll it into a 401k, and if your plan permits, and many 401k plans do permit, you may very well be able to borrow some piece of that 401k for the express purpose of purchasing a home, and then repay it to your 401k with interest, in essence, paying yourself back. So you've got to do a little bit of research on two levels. The homeowner or the home purchase side of the question, I think first, chat with HR. Or if you're in a relatively smaller company and they don't technically have HR, chat with your 401k administrator. Find out what your options are in terms of borrowing from the 401k for a home purchase process. And be very clear of what you can do and what the requirements are. If that's available, then the second piece of homework that you need is to examine the investments to be clear that they're going to give you the kinds of performance, the kinds of returns, the kinds of results that will support your retirement. Because, again, these are retirement funds. They are first and foremost intended to provide you with financial security in your retirement. So be clear about that. First and foremost, put those two things together. I think you're in pretty, pretty darn good shape. And despite the fact that you're coming out of what it's never a happy occurrence, hopefully this will put you to on the road to a better place as your life unfolds. And as wise people have said for many, many generations, when God closes a door, He opens a window. So your life hopefully will be just more joyous and happier as you move forward. And of course, if we can help additionally, 610-720-7900 works very, very well. Okay. We have an email from Bill. A long time ago, I purchased a term life insurance contract from a particular company through my employer. More recently, I became aware that I could make deposits to this policy and that the cash would earn interest at 4%. How about that? The interest appears to be compounded daily, so it seems like a pretty good deal. Over time, I have deposited about $70,000. I understand that if you deposit too much, it becomes it's called a MEC, a modified endowment contract. That's kind of jargon-ish, but if you put too much money into a life insurance contract, it's paying you this kind of return or any kind of return. The IRS starts to say, wait a second, we're not happy with you now. And all the good tax advantages that a life insurance contract gives you, you could lose. So you can't put too much in. Pay tax. I also read that the contract chart changes from FIFO to FILO, and that is likely True. That makes it sound like you pay tax in any event, if not sooner than later. Also, I could not find actual information on how much you could deposit before the conversion would occur. Tax ramifications, how to compute the maximum. They talk about a three-year rule, but they don't elaborate. These are questions that are specific to the contract that you're involved in. This particular company, well-known company, very large, very financially secure, they have rules within their contracts. If you were to look at an alternate company, in this case, you really can't because this one's offered through your employer. But if you were to compare those contracts to, say, a Northwest Mutual or a Nationwide contract or a John Hancock, their rules would be a bit different. So the answers that you are seeking must come from either HR, substantial employer. I absolutely am convinced that the HR department should be able to answer these questions for you. If they seem for some reason confused, you're going to have to go directly to the administrator of this plan, this group life plan, and get the specific answers. It's very important that you do. You're absolutely right. The interest rate is fantastic, but one of the additional advantages is that in a life contract, it is tax deferred. So you're not only getting a great interest rate, 4%, but you're paying no income tax on it currently, and you won't until you pull dollars out. Very, very significant advantage. If it slips into a modified endowment contract, you'll lose that tax deferral, and indeed you'll start paying tax on interest as you earn it. Not the worst thing in the world if you're paying tax on 4%, because a lot of folks out there are going, are you kidding me? I'd be happy to pay tax on 4%. I'm getting 1%. I'm getting a half of 1%. I'm getting a quarter of 1%. Even if I had to pay tax on 4%, I'd still end up keeping, what, 3%? Which still makes it a wonderful, wonderful deal. But you've got to get those specific questions answered. The place to look is your HR department. 610-720-7900, gene@askmtm.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. Let me make sure Dick is the one that sent this question, and to be perfectly honest, my head hurts. He starts by saying, I've been blessed by considerable personal wealth. God bless you. That is a wonderful thing. But I'm in a moral dilemma about the prospect of President Trump's tax cuts. On my current income and on my estate after my death, I don't support Trump. I'm a fiscal conservative. He is not. I am a social liberal. He is not. I'm concerned about these tax cuts, which will be particularly beneficial to me and folks like me, but not necessarily help anyone else in America. So from this standpoint, what ideas do you have? Well, I have a couple ideas. Clearly, considerable personal wealth has not come with significant thoughtfulness. I think that's pretty straightforward. If you had thought through this a little bit before asking the question, it's not even remotely relevant whether you think Donald Trump is a fiscal conservative or a social liberal. There are lots of folks who would argue with you both directions, that both he is a fiscal conservative and that he's not, and that he's a social liberal, and that he's not. So I think your assumptions are questionable from the get-go. The second piece that you need to be a bit more thoughtful about is one that, to be perfectly honest, I find more often, not in the Lehigh Valley, but in the right and left coasts, in the not in middle America, but in the entertainment industry, particularly in folks who have come to their wealth suddenly, perhaps. And for whatever reason, they feel compelled either to be apologetic about it or self-conscious about it, and rail against wealth, and rail against tax cuts, and rail against these things that clearly they don't understand. And they don't understand it on two levels. Number one, they don't understand the economics. Ronald Reagan proved over an eight-year period the economics, which is if you lower the tax rates, the number of dollars of taxes collected goes up. So you want to have more money for the government? Lower tax rates. That's proven. The second thing that's clear that you and some of these, many of these folks have not thought about, is that the amount that you pay, in tax is voluntary. We operate within a voluntary system. Now, most folks go, Gene, are you kidding me? If it were voluntary, I'd pay zero. Well, okay, there are limits. There are limits to how much you can voluntarily adjust, but there are no limits to the amount that you can pay above what the current IRS code requires you to pay. So let's say you are blessed indeed and you make $1 million a year, and currently the IRS code says that you should pay $400,000 in income tax. There isn't a thing in this world that's preventing you from adding another, pick a number, 100 grand, 200 grand, 300 grand to your tax bill. Will the IRS, will the federal government accept overpayments? Oh, yeah. There are not many. They're measured in the hundreds out of, 250 million taxpayers. They're measured in the hundreds who actually pay more than they are required to. But every year the federal government collects millions of dollars in overpayments. So get off your high horse. If you're that convinced that this is a bad thing, just pay more. And don't be so insistent that the whole world follow your line of thinking. If you're convinced that you're correct, tell all your very, very considerably wealthy friends to start paying way, way more. If President Trump's tax cuts take them down to 20%, tell them to pay 40. Tell them to pay 50. Tell them to pay 60. Pick a number that will make your conscience feel better and start sending in big buckets of money. And at your death, put it in your will. If you're worth $20 million, put it in your will that $10 million of it goes to the federal government. So stop waiting for the government to make you feel better about this. Just do it. Now, personally, wouldn't do that. Not ever. I don't think it's a fiscally responsible thing to do. I think the federal government wastes so much money that it's painful to even watch. Now, if I'm in that situation and I'm thoughtful, I would start looking at some of the nonprofit organizations that are doing tremendous work, and I would start shifting significant dollars there. You might look at Laughing at My Nightmare. You might look at Through These Hands. You might look at Love Ran Red Foundation. You might look at the Wounded Warrior Project or Keystone Warrior Project. There's tons of outstanding organizations that you can shift your dollars to. Take them off your plate, because clearly you have way too much. And stop with this posturing, because as I read that question, to be fair, it offends me. It offends me. It is something I would expect to hear out of an audience at Berkeley, not the Lehigh Valley. 610-720-7900. We go to the phones. We talk to Walt. Walt, good morning, sir.
Good morning, Gene. How are you?
I'm very well, sir. How may we serve you?
I have a PA Tap 529 question for you.
Sure.
Okay. I have two sons. One's 19, one's 16. The 19-year-old just completed his freshman year, did very, very well academically, so I'm very proud of him.
Cool.
Had some money put aside for both of the boys in the respective 529s.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the huge blessing. I happen to work at a university. He goes to that university.
Cool.
And his tuition's paid.
Nice.
Okay, so that's great for son number one, right?
Sure.
Okay, so let's say theoretically that I don't have to dip into that 529 for son number one.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just transfer that over to son number two?
Yes.
In case?
Yep.
Not a problem automatically?
It simply is not a problem. It is a piece of paper. Each 529 plan identifies a student as the beneficiary, so to speak. That's not the terminology they use. And that identified student can be changed at the discretion of the 529 plan owner, which is you.
Okay, and will he get the benefit then of the aging of that, of those credits too then?
It's my understanding he will, yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Great news. Thank you very much. That helps a lot.
I appreciate your call. Thanks very much, Walt, and God bless both your boys. Good for them.
Thank you.
610-720-7900, Gene at AskMTM.com, MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. We run into situations with 529 plans regularly. Parents who have set them up for their kids some time ago, grandparents who want to set them up now. I think our current record, and this couple, they're wonderful to work with. They've been with us so 10 years or so. Just wonderful. And their children apparently are, they took the go forth and multiply. They took that to heart because their kids are producing grandchildren at a significant rate. I think we're up to nine, and we've got 529 plans for all of them. Fantastic. So grandparents often will set up 529s. When you set up a 529, if you're doing it to its maximum advantage, you will set it up as soon as the baby is born. As a matter of fact, if you're doing it to its maximum advantage, you can set up a 529 plan. Talk about get ready to have your mind blown. Let's say that you're a young couple, you're 25 years old, and you don't plan on having a child for 5 years. You're gonna start your family at age 30. You can start the baby's 529 plan now.
More than money.
What? It almost sounds like that simply doesn't, like it could possibly work. It would work, and here's how it would look. You can set up a 529 plan for anyone. So you could set up for yourself. So you could set up a 529 plan at age 25 for yourself. Put yourself in as the beneficiary, etc. Fund it at whatever level you find appropriate or are excited about. And 5 years later, when the baby is born and has its own social security number, you can change the beneficiary to the baby. Okay. So you can start literally before a child is born. As a result, you're beginning to fund a program designed for an event, college or whatever, that will not happen for 18 or 20 or 25 years, if at all. So the 529 plans, fortunately, they have a fair amount of flexibility built into them. Fair amount indeed. So if you've got questions about 529 plans, setting them up, making sure that your grandkids are fine or your kids are fine or somebody's fine, all you have to do is ask. 610-720-7900. Gene at AskMTM.com or MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. We'll take your calls, your questions, your emails after this on More Than Money. Thank you. welcome back to More Than Money. And if you're going, can I just hear the whole song? The answer is yeah. Just hang on for, 20 minutes or so, and we'll get you right into to Dirty Laundry. Welcome back to More Than Money. That sounded wrong. We're going to get you into Dirty Laundry. No, you should dress fresh and clean. Don't do that. No, we're not into money laundering. John, goodness. 610-720-7900. Gene at AskMTM.com, MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. We go to the phones. We talk to Elsa. Ilya. There's no way that says Ilya. Ilya, good morning.
Good morning, Gene. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course. How may we serve you?
Well, my question is this. I have an 401k plan from former employer.
Sure.
And it started as regular 401k contributions,
mm-hmm.
but later when the Roth 401k became available, I put some money into the Roth.
Sure.
With the same plan.
Sure.
So I'm getting ready for retirement, and I recently got a note from the plan administrator saying that I would need to transfer this money into the IRA or Roth IRA,
mm-hmm.
or both,
mm-hmm.
Before I start taking the required distributions. Because after I called them, they explained that these two plans, the regular and Roth, cannot be separated within the plan. In order to separate them, when I take the distributions, I would have to transfer it into the IRA and Roth IRA. Otherwise, my mandatory distributions will all be taxed.
That is exactly correct. So when you make this rollover, when you receive the paperwork to do the rollover from your 401k into the IRA, you will actually be instructing them to roll over two pieces. One piece will go into a standard IRA rollover. That's the part that still has not been taxed. The Roth portion will go into a Roth IRA rollover, and you won't be subject to RMDs for that Roth piece.
That is correct, but the question is, why can't they keep separate within the 401k plan? Why can't they keep these two separately? And I know I will need to have my RMDs from both 401ks in that case. But at least the RMDs from Roth 401k would not be taxable.
Yeah, you can always take money out of your Roth IRA. The IRA, the terminology RMD and Roth IRA, they don't go together. They don't fit because a Roth IRA does not have, or a Roth 401k does not have a required minimum distribution. So if it's your intention to take money out of the Roth, you can do that at any amount, in any time frames, and you're absolutely right, there's no income tax, but it will not be an RMD. If they're telling you they can't do that inside the 401k, then yeah. Rolling it to the IRAs is a simple process. It should be cost-free and should cause you no inconvenience. Why they can't do it, that's up to the 401k administrator and what they feel their capacity is or not. In this case, they're saying they really aren't able to do it. So it's an easy problem to solve by simply creating two IRAs, a standard and a Roth, and pulling the dollars out and populating those two IRAs.
Yeah, I understand. It's not hard. The reason I didn't want to transfer it anywhere because the plan does very well and has very low expenses. It's with major brokerage firm, and I'm extremely happy with the plan. So
well,
I'm not sure
if I can transfer
it to IRA, which will be doing as well.
But if the 401k plan is telling you they can't do what you wish them to do, then your options are now limited. I can assure you that if with a little bit of work, if you decide that replicating what you're finding inside the 401k is in your best interest. There are lots of high-quality investment firms today offering incredibly low fee structures on IRAs that you can manage yourself. So whether it's a Vanguard, a Fidelity, a T. Rowe Price, whether it's a mutual fund or an ETF, my guess is that you can either duplicate either precisely what you currently have or get very, very, very close with a similar fee structure. Certainly something that will require a little bit of work, but all things considered, not terrible, certainly not insurmountable, should be relatively easily done.
But in any case, I can wait till I have to take the RMDs. I don't have to transfer it now, even if I'm ready to retire. But I'm several years away from RMD.
That is exactly right. If you're happy with your 401k plan, even though it's a former employer, if you're happy with it and the plan is rules permit you to stay, you there's nothing that says you have to move until the very final moment.
I see. Well, thank you very much, Jen.
My pleasure.
This, and I like your show. I listen to it every Saturday.
I appreciate that.
I think it's a wonderful show.
Thank you very much, and good luck with your retirement.
Thank you, Jen.
Thank you. 610-720-7900. He listens every week. I'm not even sure you listen every week.
What?
goodness gracious. 610-720-7900, Gene at AskMTM.com, MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. Let me make sure I've got the correct name here because I want to go all the way back. This is Tim. Tim writes, I'm 63, about a year from retirement. I've saved nearly $440,000. Fantastic. I'm considering using a financial advisor to help me. What I'm thinking is I'll get four advisors, give them each a piece of the pie. That way I can figure out which one is best over time. What do you think? I think there are certainly easier ways. I think there are certainly simpler ways. If one of your considerations is, hey, I'll be retired, I don't mind hanging out with 3, 4, 5 meetings when one could do, then yeah, I guess. Most quality financial advisors would be reluctant to participate in this bits and pieces kind of an approach. Most quality financial advisors are rightfully proud of the work that they provide and would be more inclined, is a good word, to select a client and form a relationship with a client who's forming a relationship, a committed relationship with them. An analogy that kind of springs to mind is it possible to successfully date 4 women at the same time? Goodness. Just expressing that analogy out loud makes my head hurt. Is it possible? I'm sure it's possible. I'm sure it's been done. But I'm also sure that it's not ideal. And that a commitment both from your financial advisor to you and you to your financial advisor will likely provide you with the greatest possibility, probability, opportunity to be successful. If you're uncertain, you can certainly interview. You should certainly interview multiple advisors and discuss strategies and develop a sense of where you feel most comfortable and where you feel you can place your trust. But beyond the obvious, which is that you're going to have lots more work and opportunity for things to fall through the cracks by having 4 advisors rather than one. This is simply not an idea that I'm finding any kind of, wow, that's a great idea. I don't see it. 610-720-7900, Gene at AskMTM.com. morethanmoneyonline.com. One quick note, it's kind of a housekeeping item, but you will find, if you are a subscriber to the More Than Money newsletter, on page 2 this month, you see an article called More Than Money is Growing to Better Serve You and Those You Love. It obviously has gotten a lot of people's attention, as I've gotten a fair number of phone calls and a fair number of comments, a fair number of emails from folks. First and foremost, congratulating us. That's very, very nice. If you're not a subscriber, the news is rather exciting from all sides. The More Than Money World Headquarters. We have for many, many years leased half of the building to our friend Cameron Soleimani, Dr. Soleimani. He's a dentist, and his team. And they have formed an alliance with another group. And now that they are no longer occupying that space, we're going to take over that space. We're going to be doing some demolition in there, do some build out, and create more opportunities on our More Than Money platform. It means a couple things. It means we're going to have more space, obviously, but it also means we're going to have more employees. And we've been talking and have talked for many, many years on our radio show about inspiring American business. American business inspires me. And the folks out there that are doing great jobs, they inspire me. And they do tremendous things. And we've had the opportunity to help. And there's literally nothing more satisfying as a financial advisor than to be able to assist people in achieving important financial goals for them, whether it's a retirement goal, a business goal, a legacy goal, an income tax situation that needs to be resolved. Helping people in these ways, it's tremendous. And so we want to increase our capacity to help more and more people. We'll be looking to add one or two new financial advisors. We're going to be looking to add a new marketing person as well. And while we're doing our build out, we're going to be looking to identify, interview, and hopefully acquire 2, 3, 4 new employees. If you have someone in your life that you are convinced would be part a good part, a good fit for the chemistry that we find on our More Than Money team, please let me know. That would coming from part of our More Than Money family, that kind of endorsement would mean the world. So if you have somebody that you would suggest, or somebody you think perhaps there's somebody that you're currently working with, maybe a financial advisor, you're going, wow, he or she they're pretty terrific, but they're working alone, and maybe teaming up would be a good thing for them. Please let me know by shooting me an email, gene@askmtm.com. We'd appreciate that very, very much. Let's go to the phones, 610-720-7900. We talked to Joe. Joe, good morning.
Oh, good morning.
How may we serve you?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My niece will be getting married in a couple months.
Nice.
And I was thinking of, rather than giving her cash, I was going to give her some stock. Now, the stock I was thinking of is a stock that has grown since I bought it. So there's quite a bit of money I made on the stock. Now, my assumption is that when I give her this stock, as far as she's concerned, the value of that stock is the price on the day I give it to her. Is that correct?
Are you talking about for tax purposes?
Well, yeah, for tax purposes. In other words, I made a profit on the stock,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to give it to her. But for her tax purposes, the value of the stock is on the day that I give it to her.
I'm afraid that is a that is not correct. You are misunderstanding the tax rules. If I'm going to use a simple example, I paid $5 a share for stock. It's now worth $20 a share.
Right.
On the day I give her 100 shares, I am giving her $2,000 worth of stock, but I am also giving her my original cost basis, which is $5 a share or $500. So if she goes thereafter to sell the stock, she will pay tax on the same profit that you would have paid tax on.
Okay. That someone was telling me differently, and I thought that didn't sound right.
The rule that this other person was describing to you is the rule that applies if your niece inherited that stock from you after you passed away.
Okay, that clears it up. Because I was thinking if that was allowable, people would be giving stock to family members
all the time.
And just tell them to hold on and give it back to me or something like that.
You're absolutely right. And as a result, it sounded too good to be true, and it wasn't good or true.
Okay, I figured that was something was wasn't right when I was being told.
Well, I'm glad you...
Hey, listen, thank you again, and I enjoy your show, and you're doing a great service for people.
You're very kind. Thanks, Joe.
Yeah, have a nice day.
You too. God bless. Very kind. Very, very kind. There are folks who don't understand. Hey, why do you get up at 5 o'clock in the morning every Saturday? To be honest, I can't get some folks who I've invited to get up at 5 o'clock once a year. So it's a reasonable question. Why would you do such a silly thing? Except it's not silly at all. It's a chance to share just a little bit of what I've picked up over 780 years of experience and have a positive impact. I'm halfway through a book that I've read a couple times in the past, and to be honest, it's hitting me as if I've never read it before. A gentleman, Viktor Frankl, who survived Auschwitz, wrote a book called Man's Search for Meaning, and describes his experience in Auschwitz and his theories about why certain people psychologically respond in a way where they survive and other people simply don't. And he relates it to meaning, whether there's a meaning in life. There's lots of folks out there that by the time they get to age 40, they're going through the motions, and whether they're creating value or meaning, it's an interesting question. But for the opportunity to serve and to share and hopefully help, it gives me a great reason to get up at 5 a.m. on a Saturday morning and a little bit later the rest of the week. Folks, we're coming up to... a quick break so that we can share with you one of my favorite songs, The Eagles and Dirty Laundry, Don Henley. Fantastic piece of music. Thanks, John, for finding that for us. Couple things that you should know. If you would like more information about anything we've talked about, or if you'd like a second opinion meeting with a financial advisor or a Social Security advisor, an insurance advisor, or legal advisor, these are all absolutely free. There's no charge for these meetings. All you need to do is ask. And you can ask by sending me an email, gene@askmtm.com. You can ask by going on our website, morethanmoneyonline.com. And you can ask by phone, 610-746-7007. I don't want to talk too much over this piece of music because we've been doing it all day. I want you to enjoy the song. But I also want you to see me next week, live at Steel Stacks from 8 o'clock to 10 as we broadcast from Laughing at My Nightmares, 5K, Run, Walk, Roll, and hope to see you there. Enjoy the music. We'll see you next time on More Than Money.